Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 411, Information. Hi, I'm Severin.
That is some information. I'm Fuzzwolf. That is also information.
I'm Shiva. That was not.
Oh, okay. Also,
trans rights. Okay.
So, it has been another exciting week here in the land of the internet, in the land of the furries, and where we have to ask everybody and their cousin, do you know how to beat Beaver Bother? So, Shiva, what? Do you know how to beat Beaver Bother? Do you even know how to bother beavers?
Is this about having sex with a beaver haver?
No, but okay. Anyways, it has been yet another week, and I have done not much in the way of anything, though I did have dentistry done today. I got two fillings, and my jaw is a little sore. So if I slur words a little bit, I guess that might be it. We're going to blame that today.
It could also just be the cock.
Yeah, I do have the red one tonight.
We were joking about that at lunch yesterday, and he was like, I'm going to have dentistry at 8:30 in the morning on, and I was like, oh, podcast day, great. You won't be able to talk. You'll be drooling all over the microphone.
Well, it was pretty bad until like noon, because it was like 8:30 and it took it a while for my lips to work again. It's not as bad as when I had the upper ones done. I couldn't use a straw when I had those done.
Oh.
It just made it a little hard.
Yeah.
Well, because a lot of the muscle control, you have to like form a seal, and if half your lips are fucking
a really sloppy blow job,
it would just not be ideal at all.
No.
So I got that done today, and then I went to the saddest mall ever.
What, Valley View?
Vista Ridge.
Oh, yeah.
The one up in Louisville.
Oh, so, no, Valley View is much sadder. It's also doesn't exist.
So I wanted to bring this up in your opinion. Okay, so we have Vista Ridge, which is now a wholesome family establishment with like Jesus imagery and a Ten Commandments monument everywhere, or Valley View, which is just sad for commercial failure reasons.
Yes.
I think that
it's a
Vista
desolate
Ridge is worse because the stuff around it is actually doing okay. This is a mall in Louisville, Texas. It's off of 35 East going towards Denton, and it's been around for a long time. It was built in, I think, the 70s or so. It's pretty old. And it was failing, and it's been failing for a really long time. It got sold off to developers in the last couple of years, and they're like, we're going to turn it to Music City Mall. And they were going to turn it into having a music venue. They have live shows, and I think they still do. Like, they have little events there from time to time. But the owner is also really Jesus-y. They put up a Ten Commandments statue in front of the JCPenney. They have stuff outside some of the entrances, like in the food court. And the vast majority of the mall is empty, yet it still has like a half dozen jewelry stores. I don't know how those work.
Or how they can survive.
They probably have to sell like one or two pieces a month to make their rent, and they have like two employees, maybe. It's really questionable. So I went there today after my poking and prodding at the dentist, and it is just the saddest mall. There's bootleg clothing shops. They have the bootleg toy shop. You know, you see at the low-end malls that have like the weird backpacks, you know, the miscolored Sonic the Hedgehog that says Obama on it, that tier of store.
Oh, right, yeah.
And
which is probably all stolen art from someone on DeviantArt.
Oh, yeah,
art
it's all bootlegs from China. It's off, not even off the back of the cart. It's just, yeah, we're just making bootleg shit and, like, a couple shoe stores. They've moved.
So did they just order, like, a bunch of stuff wholesale from, like, Alibaba or something?
They had some kids' clothing that had weirdly off-center Levi's logos. The space in the mall is incredibly cheap, so you get these people that open these like wholesale tier shops. They buy a shitload of stock, open it up, and they run it. The
so
former,
I could totally sell furry porn there if it wasn't all like super fundy.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it has a comic shop in there. It's got a gaming cafe in there, which is pretty cool. They're across from each other, as it makes sense. They do have a food court that has a few little places to eat. It's just really weird because that area around it is doing okay, but the mall itself is super empty. Like the Sears is now completely emptied.
Yeah.
And it's going to be turned into like this Korean mega supermarket called like Zion Market. But I just went there because I needed to close
my rings.
That
might actually help it.
Yeah. They need more traffic. It's just incredibly sad to see.
And you're also telling me Willowbend looks like it's...
Willowbend is also falling down. We were having this discussion that the malls around here aren't doing so hot.
Yeah.
Like Grapevine Mills seems to be okay because it's like... at the juncture, it's right north of the airport. It's a Mills mall, one of the few that survives, actually, and pretty full.
Yeah.
But right now, like, Shops Willowbend has some low-end stuff. They got another one of those shops that sells the bootleg knockoff swords.
Mm-hmm.
The bootleg plush, the anime posters, which are just like someone to cut a file off of DeviantArt and printed it out and laminated it. It's weird to see like a super high-end mall that caters to the richy rich of West Plano just failing like that. Oh, I guess the money's not there, or they want too much money to put in your shop.
Yeah, like I only ever go to Willowbend for the Apple store.
Yeah, same here.
I think that's what I went the last time when Sarah would, like, needed to get, like, AppleCare set up.
So, going back, how was your week, Fuzz, Chiva?
Well, the three-day weekend was nice, but work is so freaking chaotic and stressful. Walked up. So, one of our departments has a silly, like, mascot. They're, like, the llamacorns or something like that. And so they got llamas and unicorns all over the place. And I walked up to my boss and said, look, I know what they should have for its mascot. And I told him, and he's like, what? I said, a mermaid. He's like, why a mermaid? Because I'm so underwater right now, I feel like I'm half fish. Nah. And he laughed. We're drowning right now. And I don't know how we can possibly ever dig ourselves out. We're just that behind.
I know. We'll dig our way out.
We need more people, but it takes time to get the people. So
I'm currently still digging my way through piles of orders. I did spend a lot of time shipping orders over the three-day weekend and still did not get them all done.
You just got to buckle down and do it. You know,
and yeah, having orders is not a bad thing because yay orders, but it's a lot of them. And, you know, Tieran and I have our day jobs and then we squeeze everything else in. And so it takes us a little time to get caught back up. Unfortunately, we're not Amazon. We can't give you free delivery and two-day shipping.
And like a whole bunch of pickers to go through and just pull all your orders and throw them in a box.
Trying to think of like hiring an intern to do that. Be like, so which type of hardcore pornography is this? Not that it's all porn, but like if I had somebody working at For Planet, like it's a very varied selection of products. Here's this totally mainstream fantasy novel. Here's this dog getting pounded by 14 werewolves. So my week has just been busy. The extra day off was nice, though. I like that. I was so tempted to call in Friday because I was just like, Tira's out of town. It's a three-day weekend. And then I was like, no, I saved a PTO by not going to FC. It would be really bad of me if I called in. So I was a good boy, and I went to work on Friday. This is probably the longest I've worked in a year without taking PTO. Because usually as soon as... I know it's only like January 25th, but as soon as like the PTO rolls over, like it's so tempting to take it because I hadn't taken any in a long time. But... you know, we had New Year's Day was a holiday, MLK Day was a holiday, and I'll have a day off next month when we do CondFW. Well, I'll have a day off the day job. I'll still be working.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be working to sell books to people.
I got my time off for Fiesta approved, so that's all green-lighted now.
Oh, as did I.
That's good because, you know, kind of important that you...
Yep. So you never actually explained what the Beaver Bash thing was.
So Beaver Bother, going to go into the first topic and then it was like, well, how's the week going?
Okay.
Like we normally do that and then we get into the topics of the week.
Right.
And the first topic this week is H. Bummer Guy's epic 59-hour, $340,000 USD charity stream, where he 100% ran Donkey Kong 64 and had 1 million people on his stream.
So how does that relate to beavers?
I'll get to it in a second.
Okay, all right. You're going to explain that. Okay, yes. Good.
So for those that don't know, if you don't follow my Twitter and didn't see me like tweeting all about it, this guy, it's a YouTuber, H. Bummer Guy on Twitter and on YouTube, he's leftist, part of BreadTube, and decided to do a stream. Graham Linehan, who is a formerly famous TV writer, did stuff for Black Books, Father Ted, etc., way back in the day, decided to just become a transphobe in his spare time.
Right. Which people have pointed out that apparently this showed up in his work ages ago. Like, there's a whole episode of the IT Crowd that is focused around a transphobic joke, basically. Yeah. So
earlier this year, the UK National Lottery granted £500,000 to Mermaids UK. Mermaids UK is a trans youth support charity. Basically, they set up support groups and coffee get-togethers for parents with gender-variant children, and it's all it is. It's just a support group. It's £500,000 over 5 years. Mm-hmm. And this dude, Glinner, decided that, no, he was going to get his friends over at Mumsnet, the turfiest turfs that ever turfed in the UK, to try to get that money stripped from them. And out of spite, because it really is a shitty thing to do, we don't like these people and we're going to take their money from them for 5 years. What the fuck? Why would you do this? Why are you such an asshole? So what he did is he decided, well, I'm going to raise $500. I'll raise 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, 20, 50,000. And he just kept going up and up and up. So what was going to be this sort of impromptu stream where he wasn't expecting to have more than like a dozen people watching him flail around on a game that he was moderately okay at but is extremely long, ended up being this 59-hour long stream that had a total of like 93 different guests over the course of the stream, including Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Chelsea Casey Manning,
Explosion.
Casey Explosion was one of those people.
Yeah.
I'm pulling up the list because Casey put together a Google Doc and it was really impressive. Sorry, the quality requesting has been deleted. Oh no, fuck. So anyways, they had a bunch of people like Chris Clue, Jim Sterling, Scott Benson from Night in the Woods, John Romero and his wife.
Who were they?
John Romero is the creator of id Software, who did Wolfenstein and Doom and Quake.
Cool. Okay.
And they made a donation. So basically it turned this big sort of fuck you to transphobes in general. And it was really also neat because, like, in addition to having these famous people, he was just inviting random trans folks on, allowing them to come in and just tell their stories to what turned out to be a crowd of, like, 20,000 people.
Yeah, and I read someone said that, like, he's apparently very good about just letting people talk and tell their story and not, like, interrupting them constantly.
Yeah, he would just shut the hell up and play the game. And then when they paused or someone else interjected, he would ask a question and then just let the next person talk. It was actually really good. It's not like he was being self-centered at all the entire episode, which was nice. I was around for a chunk of it because, you know, I have two monitors. So I had one monitor and the other, and I got to see the end of it. But the Beaver Bother thing was a particular mini game that he had to complete successfully like 3 times. But it was very difficult because you had the dodgy N64 controls and you had to herd beavers into a pit.
Oh.
And you were this little alligator and you had to herd beavers into the pit. And it's become this joke. You know, do you know how to beat Beaver Bother?
Oh, okay.
Because it took up a lot of time on the stream because figuring it out and doing it right, it took multiple tries. It was this long, arduous task.
Right. And apparently this game is particularly long, longer than most games of the time or something.
Yeah, it was extremely long for the time. And like, it was one of those things that he couldn't really play it on original hardware because it requires the expansion pack, which is an extra 4 megabytes of RAM that goes in the slot on top of your N64. And those things are dodgy as shit at this point because they're like 20 years old.
So you had to use like an emulator?
Yeah, he just emulated it. It's not like he was doing it to raise money for himself. It was all for charity. So
yeah,
people ain't going to be shits about it. And yeah, he raised a lot of money. He talked to a lot of people. He got a lot of people, platforms, and it was a really nice positive time on Twitter. And so basically what he did is he raised 340,000 USD, which is like a quarter million pounds, which is 2.5 years of that funding right there.
And there is still a push to make sure that they do get their funding.
Yeah.
Which would be amazing if they get their funding, 100,000 pounds a year for 5 years, and they get quarter million pounds from the fundraiser. That's a real stick in the eye of the turfs out there.
Yeah.
And particularly this Graham Lineman guy.
As Scott Benson pointed out, this fundraiser is doing so well because it combines two great things: raising money for a good cause and spite.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to see, and just one of those all around positive experiences. And like when people are like, hey, you know, you don't have enough trans people of color on here. He was like, okay, get me their names and I'll bring them on. And he did. You know, he was like, oh, if you've got a name, let me know and I'll make it happen. It's like, I can only bring in people that I know or know of. And so he did.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was a fun time. I donated, and like he had a thing.
Same here.
Where it was like, if you donated $690 or it would be like, oh, such and such is a dirty mind and donated the sex number or the weed number or the evil number.
Yeah, $6.66 or $4.20.
Yeah, yeah. And people were buying URLs to redirect to his stream. They bought grahamlinehan.co.uk.
And grahamlinehan.net.
I bought glinner.xyz and redirected it. It was like a whole $2. So it's like there's now these redirects that go to his Twitch page. So that was fun.
Nice.
That is cool.
Speaking of Twitch and whatnot, I actually did pick up streaming a little. I decided to do something a little less arduous and did 96 exit Mario World, and that took me only 4 hours. It was fun to go back and play, but I like surprisingly remembered a lot of it, and I was like, why do I remember this but I don't remember college? This sucks. It was interesting also because there's a lot of coverage of this stream on various websites, both mainstream and gaming websites. And like the Daily Dot fucked it up because they only focused on like the 5 minutes Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was on the stream. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't even name Chelsea Manning or the other people in the stream. So like
they were all unidentified caller, which Case Explosion changed her Twitter display name, their Twitter
and,
display.
And the other dude too.
Yeah.
Who was with her. I would have the name, but apparently she deleted the Google Doc for some reason. And I don't know why. Well, actually I do know why, because it included links to people's like Twitch pages and whatever. So probably people were being assholes and throwing shit at people.
Ugh. Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is a who's who on the panel. Well, here's how we can contact them all and be shitheads on internet. Oh
yeah, I mean, it's sad to say, but yeah, the most obvious explanation is people were being assholes.
Yeah,
we can't have nice things
because the internet.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was a nice thing, at least for a little while, because you know the world is still on fire and there's still lots of bad shit, but we're not going to quite get to that yet. So as a follow-up to last week's, though, we do have a note, information on who owns Akon now.
Oh, right.
The
mystery is solved.
Mystery is solved, but also just sort of its own mystery as well. The new company that owns Akon is called Event Power LLC. The guy owning it names Frank Powell. He runs Event Power LLC as a event management corporation. They handle marketing and organization. They do logistics for conventions, and they do it for a lot of conventions. They have everything from, well, Akon is their one sort of fandom-related thing, but they have things like global special operations, lots of the military. There's both fossil fuel and green energy companies that do events. GE, there's one called Maya, which is turns out it's a Martial Arts Instructors of America, MAIA, yeah. That's like an organization for karate schools.
Huh.
And it's just like one of these things is not like the other. The thing is, through some back-channel discussions, it's basically like people in Akon had some connections. They got the guy in. The internal structure is probably not going to change that much.
Right.
It's not like he's going to gut it and rebuild.
Apparently, he's a fan of Akon, has been helping him for years.
I guess.
Well, that's what he said at his introduction on Akon's Facebook page.
So they have a new owner, and he's like, yeah, sure, I'll help you out. And it's just this event organization company. I mean, it's better than, say, ReadPop that runs any number of nerd conventions that nickel and dime you to death.
Right.
But we'll see how it pans out, because they haven't announced their new venue yet, I don't think. Okay, so now that I've looked at their Facebook page, they haven't posted anything new since about, like, their venue or anything. So
Okay. We're
still in the dark on that. So Akon has new ownership. It's somebody who's tangentially related to the event in the past. We'll see what happens. As we said last week, they've changed venues. They're moving it back to Dallas on a short-term basis. I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody does, except for the people in the con, and we're not those people.
Right.
The only convention I do anything for nowadays is Fiesta, and that's going to stay that way. I've learned my lesson. So, other than that, moving on to the next topic. As a fun side thing, all the Animorph books are now available online for free from the author. You just literally go to animorphsforum.com, and you can download all the ebooks. The author's blessing.
Which she tweeted.
So. Yes. Like, she tweeted it. And it's like, yeah, you can just get my books. Because I think we brought it up last week where it's like, I bet the author of the Animorph books isn't a transphobe. No, she's not. She has a trans kid. And all of her books are available for free and are not completely obsessed about by weird milquetoast liberals who compare everything to Voldemort. Read another book.
Yeah.
There's a lot more of them out there.
Let's see. Kingdom Hearts 3 is out this weekend. After 17 years, people can continue to be baffled by the story.
That's all I know about Kingdom Hearts, is that apparently it's confusing.
Yeah, and I have watched none of the new coverage, and that's probably going to stay that way.
Yeah.
Because, like, I played the first one and was like, this is bad. Like, I played part of it and just bounced off because the PlayStation 4 up-res makes it very obvious that all they did was up-res.
Uh-huh.
So, like, what would have been a fuzzy expanse in the PlayStation 2 because of the limitations of the hardware and the resolution is very obviously just you're in a cube that has textures painted. You can see the edges on the corners. It's like, oh, man, this is real limited and real bad. Oh, no.
Mm.
It's like, sometimes you shouldn't play these games on higher resolutions because you can see all the shortcuts that they took.
Right.
You wouldn't have noticed when it was on a fuzzier, like a 480 connection, you know?
Right.
So Kingdom Hearts 3 is out. If you're a fan of that, I hope you're happy. I hope it's good. I hope you enjoy it. I just continue to maintain that it is just utterly impenetrable to me. And this is somebody who owns the games on PS4 and PS3. Like, I bought them because they were on sale and then I never played them. And then it was on PlayStation 4 for like $15. I was like, yeah, sure, whatever.
I was like, yeah, okay, I'm glad you explained that, because I was like, why do you own these fucking games?
Like, I had them on my PlayStation 2 when the games came out, and I played the first one, and I was part of the way through the second one when all our shit got stolen back in 09.
Oh, right.
A decade ago.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I should revisit these, and I never did. And then I was like, oh, both the games are like $15. I should revisit this. Oh, no, they're not that good. But, you know, personal opinion and all that.
Yeah.
That's out this week. People are very excited. The art's cool. The music's pretty good. Like, the current theme song for this one has Skrillex, I think.
Okay.
So that's fun.
Hopefully it has Mickey, like, DJing, scratching records, you know.
Uh-huh. Are you talking about the Door to Darkness? I'm a Keyblade Master. Oh, not now, sweetheart. You're not going to Nord me. I'm sure that phrase will come out in the game, and if not, well, it's real to me, damn it.
Yeah.
Is your head canon?
Yep. So, Fuzz, you have thrown some items in this weekend. It's like you have contributed to the topics chat link.
Yeah.
Discuss.
I haven't read these articles yet, but there are articles linked from Ross Story on their Twitter. So I'll read the headlines here. Pro-Trump PAC loses faith in the president and tries to recruit Ann Coulter as 2020 primary challenger. And they're disappointed because he hasn't built the border wall yet. So they're disappointed him for one of the worst fucking things he's trying to do. And they're like, let's get this really shitty person to challenge him to the presidency.
I mean, sure, go for it, please. Infight all you want. Just fracture into a million little hateful parties. That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
As long as we break your power in the process.
And
Ann Coulter has, like, she has probably more
political experience
than Trump does, just by virtue of her being a shrieking harpy for the right for the last 30 years. Whereas Trump was, you know, sitting on the toilet trying to not die of a heart attack after eating 30 cheeseburgers.
I would like to think that she at least kind of knows how the government works.
Or is supposed to work.
Or is supposed to more than he does.
You know she knows that you don't need your grocery ID.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's another green card. You know, you go to Whole Foods. They should have a credit card called the green card. Yeah. I don't know. I've heard Whole Foods is kind of expensive.
Yeah, they really are. Panther, for a little while, had this kick of like, oh, he's going to go and buy cheese from there, random cheeses and chocolates. And
right. I
disabused him of that notion pretty quickly. It's like, this is ridiculously expensive. You only get little bits of cheese. Let me go to Town Talk. I'll get pounds of cheese.
Yeah.
And it's good cheese.
You get a wheel of cheese that's literally the size of a car's wheel.
Yeah, a fucking 2-pound wheel of brie that I have to split amongst 6 or 7 people to ensure that it gets eaten.
Before it goes bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a literal log of Colby cheese that you would get at the deli for $5.
Do you never want to poop again? Here you go.
Well, the last time I did that, I'm pretty sure that I cut it into portions and distributed it to y'all.
Yeah. I got like, some, yeah.
You got some Fuzz.
Yeah.
You got some Shiva. And Panther still ate a bunch, so yeah. It was good. But it's like a fucking deli-sized thing.
I mean, there's a limit to how many cheese a human should consume.
Oh, well, Panther doesn't have that limit. So this
he
next
is
story...
not lactose intolerant.
Nope. And I can have cheese, I just can't have milk, so I can still enjoy it.
Right.
This next story that you linked, Fuzz, is pretty wild.
Florida's GOP Secretary of State resigns after photo appears of him mocking Hurricane Katrina victim with blackface.
Yep.
And the picture that shows up in the article preview is, there, Shiva.
Yeah, I saw it.
It's pretty horrifying. And, the photo taken at a private event 14 years ago shows Michael Ertl with fake breasts and black paint on his face, presumably to mock a black woman struggling in the aftermath of the hurricane. It then goes on to point out how many people lost their lives during Hurricane Katrina, mostly being people of color. So this is really a shitty thing to
lost their lives, lost their homes.
And there was a stat I saw, like 1 in 3 people that left the city have still never returned.
Yeah, that I'd believe. So the other thing that's going on right now is the 2019 World Economic Forum is going on in the city of Davos. You know, it's where like
city of Davros.
That's what I was. Every time I see Davos, I think that Davros. Ah! they want to exterminate the poor, so, you know.
Yep.
So, apparently the heads of state of the UK and France are not there this year. And also the head of state for the United States is not there because Trump did say he was canceling this trip if the government shutdown was still going on, which it is. So, the US isn't there either. One of the articles I read is the new far-right president of, I think it's Brazil.
Bolsonaro.
Is like, not the headliner, but he's getting, like, a lot of attention because this is, like, his first official address as a world leader since being elected 3 weeks ago. And he's a lot less right-wing and fiery than he was on a campaign trail, which makes sense because you usually temper yourself to the center a bit when you're on a world stage.
He's still a fascist.
But he's, you know, yeah, he's still a massive douchebag, but yeah. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is not at the World Summit, but she's been mentioned a lot. Apparently she's like sort of the not present presence in the room there because they keep asking these billionaires on these panels what they think of her proposed 70% marginal tax rate. And Michael Dell, the founder of Dell Computers, he scoffed and said, "Name a country where that's worked ever." And co-panelist and MIT professor Eric Brynjolfsson said, "The United States." And he's right. The U.S. actually had a top marginal tax rate of 90% in the 50s. And so, yeah, this has been done here before, And it was during an unprecedented experience, a time of economic expansion. So, you know, I don't know what his response to that was about. You know.
Take my money.
Yeah. It's like not at all surprising that billionaires are not for, you know, raising taxes. And sadly, you know, like try to think well of Bill Gates, because he has done a lot of philanthropy, but he is also a billionaire, and, you know, there's ethical billionaires in capitalism. He basically implied that the reporter asking him the question was a communist for suggesting that philanthropy can't solve the problems of skyrocketing inequality and entrenched oligarchy. And he wasn't the only one who was like, no, instead of taxing people and having the government handle it, I think I'll just handle it myself through philanthropy. Fuck that.
We're gonna teach the children of Flint how to code. You could just spend that money to fix the pipes. Code! You know?
We'll code you some new pipes.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that only happens in Doctor Who when you're on Legopolis creating solid matter via block transfer computations using mathematics.
And or in Overwatch with whatever Symmetra does.
Oh, okay. So you have a
yes, a
geek thing to throw out there also. Okay.
But
I'm just hoping that I bewilder some people that are like, David Tennant wasn't in that episode.
It's interesting, too, because we talk about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez so much because she's younger than all of us here.
Yeah.
She's 29. She's younger than Cerro. And she grew up in a post-9/11 world and saw this shit. She was a working-class individual, mm-hmm. worked at a bar, wore her shoes through to the fucking sole to get out her vote and get herself into Congress. And yeah, of course she's going to say some shit that shakes up the old money.
Yeah.
You know, putting forth a 70% tax rate on after $10 million, and you've got these fucking right-wingers out there in the media class going, 70% tax rate? Oh my God. How would you feel if they took 70% of your wallet, of your paycheck? And I'm like, well, cost of living is probably that for most people, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that life consumes most of that, and everybody's on the razor-thin edge of poverty every time, like, if they have an emergency.
I'm really glad people ripped that shit to shreds, because, like, I saw a lot of takes on Twitter that were like, if I had $10 million and $1 and you were going to take 70% of the $1, which is what a marginal tax rate does, I would be like, holy fuck, I have $10 million.
Yeah,
drinks exactly. are on me, you know?
You know, it's like, oh, what's that? Those taxes are going to ostensibly go to something that helps people.
My only concern is I was like, 70% is not high enough. It needs to go back to 90.
Yeah.
If you make $10 million and $1 in a year, take 90% out of that dollar, you know? So if you're one of these people making $20 million a year, $50 million, $100 million a year, fucking, you don't need all that fucking money, man.
You got, like, Fox was trying to vilify it because the people that are the anchors on that make $20, $30 million a year.
Yeah.
Like fucking Bill O'Reilly or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they make tens of millions of dollars a year spewing their bullshit, so of course they're going to vilify it. You know, it's one thing when I think Panther's in like the 26% tax bracket past a certain point, but marginal tax rates don't work. They there's not an absolute value.
Yeah.
It's like you pay X amount
a quarter of his income.
Yeah. You pay X amount up to a point, then the next amount up to a point. And like, it's once you go past like $100,000, it's in one value, once 150. And like, so a marginal tax rate of 70% on $10 million. After $10 million, that's still, which of us is going to make $10 million a year ever? Which of us is ever going to make $10 million, period? None of us, because that's like $1 million is $50,000 a year take home for 20 goddamn years. None of us are doing that.
No, it's a lot of zeros involved.
Yeah.
Math is hard, and I'm a finnick. I am small. Anyways,
but it also just shows how completely fucking insane the numbers that we're dealing with are. Like, your little fennec brain, pea-sized though it is, can't even comprehend.
Yeah, well, it's like someone's like, if you had $1 million, it takes X, but you have $1 billion, it's just so insanely higher.
Like, the jump between a million and a billion is just so massive that it's just nuts.
Like, at that point, numbers are fake.
And people like Jeff Bezos have like $160 billion with a B, you're just, what?
If they wanted to, they could barely spend a tenth of that.
Yeah.
Realistically. Like, it's just becoming generational wealth for the next billion generations of his spawn, unless something serious changes.
Like, I know I could spend $1 million. Oh, if I tried hard, I could spend 10 million. There are so many charities and business opportunities with really shaky foundations that I could start.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, the all furry store or something, you know, and it doesn't matter if it loses money every year. If I have $10 million, I just throw some more fucking money at it.
Yeah.
But a billion? I would have to get creative. I'd have to really think about, okay, where can I spend this? And I could probably still do it. But $100 billion? I don't even know where I would fucking start.
It's like, okay, I'm going to solve homelessness in this city.
I mean, it would have to be something like that. You would literally have to fucking hire people to figure out how to do that. Because I don't know where to put the money to solve homelessness.
It's just buying houses and putting people in them. Buying apartment complexes and putting people in them. Getting people into rehab. Paying for public works projects. You know, it's like, you could pretty easily spend $1 billion, but it would take a while.
Yeah, but like $100 billion, that would, you know what you'd do if you were going to do something like that? You'd have to set up a trust.
It would
automatically pay out the property taxes and the utilities and stuff like that. And, you know, it would probably last for decades, if not longer.
I mean, shit, even $1 million, I'd have my big gay commune.
Yeah.
It's like,
so the other quote, well, not quote, reaction that happened at this summit was the reporter, who is Anand Wrights on Twitter. She stated to Tony Blair that the elites who got us into the Iraq war, the climate crisis, the financial crisis, and skyrocketing inequality have broken the modern world. He reacted with laughter.
Yeah, Tony Blair's a piece of shit. Anybody that got us into the Iraq war is a super piece of shit and a war criminal. When we talk about inequality, it's like, we're obviously very privileged that, you know, we make money, we have, y'all have houses, and we all live very pretty comfortably. But, you know, it's like, I was at the dentist this morning, and I'm on nitrous, and I'm still getting, like, really annoyed because the show, I mean, because they want to have a thing that's nice and neutral, that's like going to be Food Network or HGTV.
Right.
Like, motherfucking HGTV. It's like, I make pants for squirrels, and I paint potatoes in my part-time. Our budget's $5 million. It's shit like that. Or, oh, we've got $120,000 to fix up this house. Or, we've got $500,000 to buy this house in Jersey. It's like, fuck, man. You know, it's aspirational television for people over 40.
Tyrion and I could seriously dump $100,000 into our house if we wanted to fix all the little things that need doing, you know, like we need new ductwork, we need new siding, we should have the foundation looked at, we want to redo one of the bathrooms. And it's like, we've done like exactly one thing in the 6 years we've lived there, and that was get our patio put in. And it's like, yeah, there's all these things that we would like to do that are not even super frivolous kind of things, but like, we can't afford to do that, you know. And just, yeah, people that like just take massive amounts of money for granted is just but anyway,
yeah, that was my thing this morning, and I tooted about it on Mastodon a little bit.
Isn't it snooted because you're on snouts?
I snooted, yes. You
snooted on Mastodon, yeah.
I snooted my tooted and rebargled, whatever, you know. It's like, just people name it whatever. It's fine.
It's a rebork instead of
a rebork.
Yeah.
See, what else do we have topic-wise? I mean, there's those horrible shithead piglets from Kentucky that need to be bulldozed along with their school.
Oh, God. Whole thing.
There's nothing we can say about that that hasn't already been said.
And the story just gets worse and worse.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they were doing blackface at a basketball game there.
They're racist and anti-gay.
They're racist. There's been multiple accusations of rape and assault.
These kids probably killed dogs for fun.
Bullying. And, you know, and now they're trying to tear down the fucking Native American veteran that was standing up to them. Like, ooh, he has a criminal record.
Except he doesn't. It was an alcohol offense when he was a minor. So it wasn't even, like, a criminal offense.
Yeah, I figured it would be some dumb shit that, you know, would be like, well, he had a parking ticket when he was 17, so we can't believe anything he says.
And then they were like, oh, well, he didn't go to Vietnam. Well, no, he was drafted and in the military during Vietnam. He didn't get sent to Vietnam to get fucked up in the jungle, but he is a Vietnam-era veteran.
And he was drafted.
Didn't have a choice in the matter, so yes, he does count. You know, they've done everything they can to try to discredit these, and then, like, the mom's like, oh, it was these weird black Muslims, the black Israelites, trying to cause noise. That,
right.
But then there was all these other video footage of the kids being shits.
They're like, there was some, I think some girls, like, posted a video, and they're like, this video is from before they even encountered the black Israelite group, where they were just being assholes to random people.
Yeah, they're just a fucking bunch of little hogs.
And they're just like, oh, you know, they didn't stick to their mission of oppressing women. We're so sorry that they, you know, got up in the face of a Native American. It's like that. It's not better.
Yeah. And, you know, Ben Garrison's done his actually not as racist as it could have been comic on the matter. And, like, the parents of this school. I mean, this is a very wealthy, basically it's a segregation academy.
This is a 17-year-old whose parents hired a fucking publicist to spin doctor.
A crisis management firm.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Like, these people are rich as fuck. And the thing is, this little shit has been handed a grift, a permanent grift on a silver platter. He's the poor, benighted white child who was so cruelly drummed at by a Native American.
Drummed.
Yes. And he prayed at him in his heathen godless language, and so, like, he'll be fucking doing the rounds. Fucking Trump's, like, inviting them to the goddamn White House.
What? Oh, I hadn't heard that, like, yet. Fucking, I mean, I'm not surprised, but
delete the White House with everybody in it, for fuck's sake.
Good.
Because, you know, the Parkland kids? Nah. You know, victims of anything oppression-wise from the government? Nope. But little Piglet makes an ass of himself on national television. He's the one that gets, and fucking watch and wait and see, because they're going to publicize this little shit going to the White House. I bet they're going to cater some nice shit for him, and it ain't going to be McDonald's. Just you fucking wait.
I hate that you're right.
And, like, it's going to happen, guys. Just watch and wait. It's going to happen. That whole thing was just so energy draining. And it's, you know, and folks like Tanya Song, who they've been getting fucking triple whammy this week. She has had a real rough week because, you know, there's all this good trans positivity stuff with the stream, but then you've got, like, the Supreme Court showing its fucking colors and letting the trans military ban go in effect. And that's going to retroactively fire, like, 18,000 people.
I thought that they just removed the injunction to let the lower courts handle it.
But if it goes through, it's going to retroactively fire that many people.
Yeah.
Active duty soldiers, people that work in the military as, like, office people. It doesn't matter. Like, if you, it's the same as, like, oh, if you're gay, you're out. It's going to be if you're trans, you're out.
Probably next will be gay.
Oh, yeah. Give them fucking time. Like, this is the fucking wedge document all over again. You know, they wedged hippies and blacks in the 60s via criminalization of weed and cocaine and heavy policing. They did it. They tried to do it with blacks and gays and succeeded largely by, like, oh, the gays are coming for civil rights. They're going to take your civil rights. This is an evangelical wedge. And now they're trying to wedge the T away from LGB because people are generally pretty cool with queer folks nowadays, except for trans folks.
If you see any of this shit online about removing the T, that is not coming from the left. That is a right-wing propaganda campaign to try and break
divide
up
and conquer
the queer family here. It's a problem in white gay male society. There is a subgroup of people that have taken on the I got mine, fuck the rest of you kind of attitude.
Yeah.
That don't care about the other letters. And those people are scum. But yeah, there's a concerted effort right now for to try and make the rest of the queers not support trans people. And that's really fucked up, but I think divide and conquer is a long fucking strategy. And this is just the latest version of it.
Yeah. And the reason I bring up Tonya Song is because she is Native American and she is trans. So her voice on this matter is way going to be way more important than ours, obviously.
Yeah.
So, like, go and listen to her and what she has to say on both these matters, because, you know, she's the one that has to deal with it a lot more than we do. I mean, we're out here saying, hey, you know, don't be shits to trans folks. Well, she's the one having to live it. So there's that. Like, I remember last time I mentioned her on the show as, like, of source, hey, want to learn anything about Native perspective or whatever, but she'd been locked, but not the case right now as of this recording. So, you know,
and I think she was locked for temporarily because she was getting, like, a lot of bullshit slung her away for a period of time. I don't know why.
Because she's trans on Twitter and people get constantly harassed by the shittiest of people. I mean, it's just Twitter. It's a hell site.
I mean, it doesn't even need to be a reason. It's just existing. It's fucked up. It's like we were talking about what we were talking about before the recording was the Driving While Black, where in an interview I was reading, they were talking to a 17-year-old black guy in one of those areas of the country that's, like, heavily skewed, where, like, all the cops are white, but the majority of the city is black. And the reporter asked him, like, how many times do you get pulled over? And he's like, you know, like, 10 times a month. So, like, every 3 days you get pulled over. And I'm like, wow, I might have been pulled over, like, 3 or 4 times since I started driving, and I was usually speeding or something at the time.
Not just, you know, because they feel like...
Right. The only time I got pulled over without cause was I had an out-of-state driver's license, and some Georgia cop thought maybe I would be easy pickings or something. But, you know, and what was we talked about this before the show, right? Yeah. Where you said the gaming guy... that went to Iran to do the Hajj.
Oh, Rem Ismail. No, that was Brother Ali that Sarah was talking about. Oh, I was talking about Rem Ismail, the guy who runs Black Gear.
Yeah, you said, like, out of 4 flights, he got randomly selected, quote-unquote, 4 times. Yeah.
And it was actually worse because one time he didn't get randomly selected, but his flight got delayed and they had to reschedule it for a morning flight. And that time, technically 4 out of 4, because the one time he didn't get randomly selected, he got selected when they retried it in the morning.
Yeah. Just as a comparison, you know, I've owned a company for 10 years. It involves me going to a lot of conventions. So I've flown a lot across the country. I have family out of state. I fly to them. I've never been randomly selected for additional screening. I've been flying since I was 21. And it's just like, yeah, it's racism. It is. It's just fucking racism. It's just that fucking simple.
I mean, shit. I remember walking through the TSA checkpoint in a fucking trench coat at one point when I was younger. And this was post 9/11.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm super fucking white, and I just walk through, nothing beeped, I mosey on by. I've never been randomly selected, and I've flown a lot over the past decade. Back when I was doing multiple PonyCons a year, and I was going out to San Francisco, going out to
New York,
Seattle, New York, I was flying all over the damn place for a little bit, and never, ever, ever getting selected. I did get my bag gone rifled through once, and they put my dildos on top of my bag, but they were still in the plastic bag, but they just, like, placed them on top of my shit with a little TSA, your bag was checked. And I'm like, I hope you enjoyed that rubber dog cock.
Well, you know, I've had the TSA go through the checked bags, but, you know, that happens. But that's not based on your appearance. That probably is random. But, I mean, either that or they're like, why is his bag showing an unusually large percentage of silicon?
Oh, wow. Okay.
It weighs a ton.
Oh, you know that they've seen some shit.
Oh, I know. And, like, really, a couple of old dildos is... in a plastic bag is probably not the worst thing they'd see on a given day.
Yeah.
It's like, why did this person put a fucking bag of tacos in their luggage? What the fuck? You know,
I'm going to try that out.
they'd probably take it out. Like, because if you put the, like, foil-wrapped breakfast tacos, they'd be like, pop your shit open, point their guns at it, shoot your tacos. Their sniffer dogs would eat them, foil and all.
Oh, what was it? It was like some sniffer dog. I forget. It was like a cruise for EDM or something. And the poor dog overdosed sniffing something. Oh, they like had to give him some of the counteraction drugs.
Oh, they had to fucking, it like got fentanyl.
He got something. I don't know exactly what, but he overdosed on something. And it's like, poor baby.
I was like, man, having to administer Narcan to a dog, that sounds probably a little hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nasal spray, but dogs are a bit different in body mass than humans. And
I wonder if they have like some of that like pre-figured out for the dogs. Like,
oh, they have to.
Like Narcan for babies.
Or, like, if dog starts doing this, this is the percentage, and this is the, you know, like, it's pre-measured or something. But, yeah, poor sniffer dog got dosed.
When dogs are tripping balls, it's just that they're seeing tennis balls everywhere, and they're trying to catch them. So, anything else?
You know, we kind of went on the political tangent a little further than I expected to this week, but that's fine. We kind of plowed through it pretty quick because, you know, going too deep. The United States is supporting a coup in Venezuela. What's fucking new? Just wait till we get into an oil war there, because they've got more oil than fucking Saudi Arabia, like by the order of 100 trillion barrels or something like that, or 100 billion barrels. It's like, but that's an ongoing thing that our fucking hell government is supporting, and it's like, U.S. supported right-wing coup in South America number 57. You know, the U.S. has been treating South America as a fucking playground for generations upon generations, fucking with their governments anytime that they get
the idea
of
being a left-wing
government. They did it in Argentina, they did it in Chile, they did it in Brazil. They've done it in every fucking company. Like, yeah, look up the American Fruit Company and what they did in fucking...
It was for bananas.
Yeah, it was
Chiquita.
Yeah, it was Chiquita.
Yeah.
Chiquita Bananas, the company that was formerly like American Fruit Company that is now Chiquita Bananas. The CIA ran a coup for them because they were going to nationalize the banana plantations, and that was affecting American business interests. So they put a dictator in place. Turns out, you know, the U.S. is actually the bad guys in a lot of cases.
Oh, yeah.
Like, totally. Are we the baddies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of why it's like, yeah, Russia interfered with our election, and like, yeah, we're really mad about that, you know, and it's
we've
like...
We've done it how many other times?
But then you look at it, and it's like, I mean, we kind of had it coming.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time it's been super highly visible to us, and we're like, oh my god, but the U.S. has been doing it for the past... ever. Yeah. So that will require a lot of reading. That would be like its own special episode, or like Fuzz and Saverin sit down and talk about the United States interventionists supporting right wing and fascist regimes across the country.
Oh my god, we're gonna turn into like the dollop or cereal or like, something like that.
This week, instead of
heavily researched fucking multi-week,
we ain't got time for that shit. This is all off the cuff. Like, if we want to do a deep dive, there are far smarter people that could do it in a proper manner.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that something like This American Life or something covers?
Sure.
Yeah, that's why I said cereal is produced by This American Life, but cereal is one story told over an entire season, so like 10 weeks devoted to like one story.
And
their second, I think it's their second season, was on a court system, and they're like, we're gonna pick one court in the country and we're gonna fucking report on this court district, basically. And they did it in Cincinnati. And this may have been where I heard the interview of the guy who was repeatedly pulled over. It's really enlightening and really, really frustrating, because there's these people that, like, there was someone that got jumped at a bar, you know, and they're flailing around wildly, you know, trying to get people off them. And because they accidentally hit a cop when trying to get away from people that were attacking them, the cop arrested them and claimed for attacking a cop. And it was eventually, like, struck down and everything like that. And, like, they negotiated it down. But the person was still out several thousand dollars, and it wasn't like the arrest just goes away. You know, it's still on their record. It's a really good podcast. It's well produced, but it is depressing as hell. I mean, I recommend listening to shows like that. Shows like that and the Seeing White series, which is
Seen on Radio.
Which is Seen on Radio. I mean, it's also really good. It's a really good history of the idea of race itself. And, you know, Savern and I have talked about this on the show before. Savern's one that told me about it originally. Like I said, really informative. So, if you want to learn more, you know, those are some shows to listen to. On a couple of things I want to throw out there. First of all, a joke that I saw on Twitter. The clitoris has around 8,000 nerve endings and still isn't as sensitive as a white man on the internet.
And the fun bit, Piers Morgan, that shithead, got pissy about it.
And everyone was like,
you just proved your point. And yeah. He also like brought race into it, even though...
Like, even though the original tweet doesn't, well...
Doesn't mention race, and the person tweeting it is white.
Right, yeah.
And he tried to make it about black women somehow.
What the fuck?
He's just a shithead.
Yeah, he's just a dumb fucking shithead. Anyway, another thing I wanted to throw out there on the furry subject, there is a tweet made by someone named Gloop Gutton 2 days ago. Conference Zero, the very first furry convention, was held on January 21st to 22nd, 1989, in Costa Mesa, California. So that is officially
30 years.
30 years.
Holy shit.
30 years ago this month, it's the first ever furry convention.
Wow.
And yep. Here we are.
There were everywhere. 65 attendees, two of which were fursuiters.
Nice.
So... they know how many people were in the fursuit parade that year. Two. Collect all two.
Hey, I mean, what was it, like Steve Galacci, I think it was, that was one of the like original fursuiters way back in the day? I could be wrong. I'm probably misremembering the name. No, that was the guy that did Albedo.
Yeah, Steve Galacci did Albedo. Bob Hill was basically the first fursuiter as a Bambioid, which is a
sexy deer type. The reason I was thinking of Steve Galacci is because he's a GOH at Anthrocon this year.
Yeah, so they have an OG furry and a new G furry as the guests of honor at Anthrocon this year. They have Steve Galacci and Sonic Fox.
Yeah.
So
that's cool to look forward to.
So that's interesting. So
how many cons does that make Sonic Fox guest of honor at?
Only two or three.
Yeah.
Not all of
them. He's sought after because he's apparently a fun guest, and he wants to go to fur cons because he goes to fur cons on the weekends he's not going out.
Because he's a giant furry.
He's a giant furry. Like he went out to California for FC because this coming weekend he's on like this DBZ World Tournament Grand Finals thing.
Oh God!
So like he goes out there for business. Enjoys his FC and then goes to hopefully continue kicking ass at DBZ.
We can hope.
Okay, so I have another bad joke.
It's tomorrow,
for
I think.
You. I'm trying to lighten things up at the end of the show here because it got kind of heavy and real. So this was tweeted by Mike Fulf. I got an Australian Ethernet cable. Oh, you come from a land down under.
God. Oh, fuzz.
And you'll now have the song in your head because I do anyway. Mm-hmm. So, yes. This is a more self-serving note. It is currently a book awards season in the furry world. So the Leo Awards, the Ursa Major Awards, and the Kyoto Awards are all taking nominations now for... you know, the best publications of 2018. So if you go to the Fur Planet Twitter, like I've retweeted some of the links and stuff there. So if you read and enjoyed anything that we published last year, you know, please consider honoring those authors and artists, you know, with a nomination or vote, whichever category they're in. So
that's just cool.
Throwing that out there. Yeah, we have many awards is like mainstream publishing does now. It's also Hugo Award nomination season in mainstream sci-fi. So if you've read some good science fiction in the last year, or it was published in the last year, definitely throw some nominations out there. I'm expecting Space Opera by Kat Valenti to get a nomination. That was a fun book. It is best described as Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy meets Eurovision.
I'm trying to imagine how that would mix, but yeah.
Yeah. It has a very shiny cover, so you should totally buy it just for the cover. I didn't publish this, by the way. I'm just saying it's a book I read that was good. I'm also currently reading N.K. Jemisin, who's an African-American author who also won a Best Hugo Award this year. She, late last year, released her first collection of short stories. I think it's called When Will It Be Black Future Month? Which is kind of a cool title. But I'm reading that because I enjoy short stories. So that's good, too. What are you reading lately, Shiva? I know you read, too. So.
Yeah, I finally counted up how many books I read last year. 65.
Nice.
I'm actually reading, it's the Game of Thrones universe. So, like, Song of Fire and Ice. It's a prequel. Which is basically kind of like a history book.
Is it still written by Martin? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure if
it's
it was
still written
one of
by
those
Martin.
Other people writing his sandbox or something, you know?
I don't think he does a lot of that. But no, this one starts back from when, like, I don't know if you guys watch Game of Thrones or anything.
I have not. But
It starts when the Targaryens, which is the major house that, like, the blonde lady Daenerys comes from, first took power. The major kingdoms, you wouldn't understand. And it's just kind of, it's just spieling up from when they took power to this is what their kids did to this is, you know, it's basically the history of the house for the time when they started moving forward. So
apparently that show is coming to an end, or it's wrapping up in season 7 or something like that?
I don't know. They're about to start season 8, earlier in, like, March.
All right. I wasn't sure what the long term was for that. I am looking forward to season 2 of American Gods.
Yes.
This is going to be starting soon.
I've read the book several times. Sarah yes. had not. So me oh. and Siam have read the book, listened to the book tape. We are intimately familiar with everything.
So the audio version, did you listen to the full cast audio version?
I don't know. I know I've heard it. I don't know if it's full cast.
There's two different versions. There's multiple different versions of the book, and there's at least two different versions of the audio book. Or, like, he released it, and then they did a 10th anniversary re-release of it. This would have been in 2011.
Yeah, I did the 10th anniversary one.
And that's the version I read. And the audio of the 10th anniversary version is a full cast version with, you know, you have Shadow doing the narration, and there's there's a narrator, but then you have Shadow's voice, and they've got voices for everybody.
Yeah, that's the one I listen to.
It's really, really good. So I've read the ebook once. I've listened to the audio multiple times. I've watched the TV series. And because it's one of those books that I really like, and books like that, even if I've read them in ebook format, sometimes there are books that I just want. I feel like I need to have a physical copy of in my library. Mm-hmm. So I ordered myself the hardcover edition of it also. So I paid for that book, and it was at 4 different mediums at this point.
But so Sarah, who is completely unfamiliar with the universe and hasn't read it, it's all unfolding new for him. And he can't wait for season 2. Because for me, I know what's roughly going to happen.
Yeah.
And seeing how they interpret it.
How they update it also. Because mm-hmm. it was originally written in 2001. And one of the characters is basically the internet. Or technology. Mm-hmm. And, like, that shit has changed a lot in the last 17 years. So they have been doing some updates to it for the TV version, which is very cool.
But watching him kind of fall in love and get hooked is fun.
Awesome. So. Also, if you're not aware, one of Neil Gaiman's short story collections, I think it's Fragile Things, has a novella That takes place in the American Gods universe, and it stars Shadow sometime after American Gods takes place. Yeah, so that's also very good. It's definitely worth checking out. Are you reading anything these days, Saverin?
I'm chipping away at The Conquest of Bread by anarcho-communist Peter Kropotkin.
Oh, okay. Tell us about that.
It is an 1892 book talking about anarcho-communism that supports reorganizing society based around mutual aid and voluntary cooperation. And basically, it was written way back in the day and then came back into prominence, talking about, you know, mutual aid and supporting each other, cooperatives, etc. Like, you know, helping out your fellow people outside of the government, you know, not relying on the government to do shit, just doing it yourself. And this can come into all sorts of things. And I've kind of pecked away at it. It's a very dense book. It's 316 pages on Google Books. It's free to download.
Oh, okay.
Like, you can
download. It'd be public domain by now.
It's super public domain at this point. And I imagine that he would want it to be public domain because anarcho-communist.
Yeah, that seems fitting.
But I'm kind of looking at that, working on it. It's hard. It's
delving into some nonfiction there.
It's nice. It's full of words.
Yeah.
But it's,
I can imagine something written in the 1800s as being like, have you ever actually tried to read like Dickens? Like, it's really
in
dense.
In school, well, hey, we had to.
This is at least the 1907 translation into English.
Oh.
So, like, yeah. the version, it's from like the Harvard Library. It's scanned on Google Books.
Cool.
Yeah, this is the 1907 English edition, and the scan stamp mentions, Harvard College Library. It's a scanned version of that book. So,
do you know what language it was originally written in?
French.
Oh, okay.
French cool. And Russian. It was originally French and then Russian because he was a Russian prince who had been exiled.
Ah, okay.
So it's interesting. There will be a Wikipedia link in the show notes if people want to look at that and be like, holy shit, that's a lot of words. I was at Half Price Books today and they had a fucking edition of Karl Marx's Capital Volume 3. And it's fucking, it's a soft cover book that's like 4 inches thick. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. You don't have to read all the great books to understand it, but being able to delve into that, at least understand it, is kind of important.
Mm-hmm.
But holy shit, that's a lot of words.
It is.
And then some chud on Twitter will just call you a fag.
So, yeah.
Anyways, that's what I'm looking at right now in my free time.
Oh, that's interesting. Cool.
And again, it's one of those things, public domain. If you want to learn about like anarcho-communist theory that was written well over 100 years ago about how people should not be dicks.
Improve society.
Well, because it was originally written as like a treatise against both feudalism and capitalism, because this was written in the time of the Napoleonic Wars, where feudalism was coming out of vogue, and early capitalism and the Industrial Revolution, all that shit, was just fucking everything up forever. And it has continued to fuck everything up forever until today. Where it is still fucking things up. So that's what I've been reading.
Cool. But
we are coming up on 10 o'clock. It's past an hour 20 on the recording. So unless we have anything else, we should probably wrap up.
No, I think ending on the book discussion is a good note to leave off on.
Do we have any emails? Oh, we do have an email.
Will it make us sad? If it will make us sad, then let's save it for next week.
No, I read it. It's not that.
Okay.
So this is an email. You can email us at southwallscast@gmail.com. You can write us on Patreon. Or you can send us a message on Patreon. It would be like, hey, buddy, we like you. On Tumblr, southpawscast.tumblr.com. I'm assuming it's still there. I haven't checked it in a while because I deleted my – I should do that. I should check the Southpaws Tumblr. Because
well, it should email us.
Yeah, it should email us if it like there was an issue. But anyways, so reducing stigma with STI being the capital letter here. Hello, Southpaw's hosts. I'm a very new listener to your podcast, and I've been enjoying every minute of your content on my commute, especially the sex positivity and encouraging people to be themselves. One thing has bothered me, though. In reference to STI testings at Colin, you've used some terms unintentionally that can be troublesome. I would ask you all consider and try to break the habit that a lot of people have using the terms clean and dirty in reference to STDs and STIs. These terms, intentional or not, contribute to the stigma around sex and sexuality. And I'm sure you don't need to tell you all, we've advanced our understandings of these matters greatly. HIV is not the death sentence it once was. PrEP and treatment as prevention regimens allow people on both sides to prevent transmission better. And our ability to treat and prevent other STIs continues to advance even as, yes, we deal with some significant antibiotic resistance across the entire medical field. People who have HIV or STIs aren't dirty, and people who test negative aren't necessarily clean individuals. And while jerks exist everywhere, everyone is worthy of a life filled with love, understanding, and yes, sex. So please help fight the stigma by taking even this little step to remove those terms from your conversations on these topics. I'd also encourage you to take a look at Mr. Friendly Movement, which aims to encourage safer sex practices while educating people around HIV, HIV transmission, and HIV prevention techniques that go beyond condoms, and does it so in a sex-positive, judgment-free, and all-inclusive manner. They also like working with other events, so if some con out there wanted to push the safer sex and sex positivity envelope even further than just at con testing, perhaps there's an opportunity there. Keep up the good work you do, remembering that seemingly innocuous things that some of us can still be problems to those that face stigma in their daily lives, an anonymous listener. Thank you for writing in. Like,
yeah,
it's one of those things that, hey, if we fuck up, let us know.
There's a lot of little things like that.
Looks like calling things stupid. That's pretty ableist. And I've seen other people talk about that. Like, yeah, you know, I've had to excise that word from my vocabulary when talking on podcasts. And I had that realization after I had heard it on that other podcast that, man, I call things stupid and dumb a lot. And I'm like, dang. I need to think about that a little better. I
didn't know that apparently back in the day, moron was a medical diagnosis, much like autistic.
Uh-huh.
So using moron is basically like an autistic slur. So you wouldn't use other autistic slurs. So
we need to be more creative in our insults and try not to actually insult people.
Right. And like, this is one of those things about language where it's like, you know, with no ill intent, you know, behind what I'm saying, I can just say things because they're in the common parlance, and then when you find out,
like, ah, fuck,
oh, that, yeah, that word usage is problematic, and it's like, it's not policing your language, it's just letting you know that, hey, you know, if you change how you're saying this, you might make people not feel as excluded.
Yeah.
And it's a little thing you could, if you could try to like reword something. So yeah, I'll, you know,
we appreciate the feedback.
Something that, you know, once you're aware of, you can start to work on. So yeah, I appreciate the feedback.
Okay, that was our one email this week, and we'll wrap up now as we are nearing an hour and a half on the raw audio. It'll be edited down for ums and ahs and all that fun stuff, so we sound a lot smarter than we do on our actual recording. I'm a wizard,
or indeed are. In real life.
You are our Dumbledore.
So, you can find me on Twitter at Savin Drake until I get banned for being snippy with TERFs. You can find me on Mastodon at snouts.online, Savrin there. And you can find me on Twitch, where I've been playing on my SNES Mini and enjoying that immensely, at Savrin on Twitch. Twitch.tv Savrin, or just finnick.top. We'll redirect you there.
I was wondering if you still had that.
That's cool. Keeping that. It's like $10 a year, but it's worth it.
What with Twitch names? What amused me? So Pepper is doing a birthday Twitch stream on the 29th, and he's going to be streaming from noon till midnight, and at 6 p.m. Arizona time, which is an hour behind us, we're in Central Time. They're going to be shaving his head.
Oh yeah.
But
when was that?
January 29th. Okay, which
he might have some fuzz back by the time TFF rolls around.
It is a Tuesday, and it's in the evening. So if you work like a day job kind of shift like I do, I'll be home in time for it. But what really amused me was his Twitch name is Pepper Coyote Paws, and I was like,
nice. I'm pretty lucky in that Savrin is not taken anywhere, though I did see somebody, there's someone who their name is Savrim, S-A-V-R-I-M or O-M, is like one letter off, and I'm like, no, you don't. And it's like some elk fursuit head. And I'm like, that's my name. It's close to my name. It's like, Savrin is relatively unique. Do not steal my name.
Did she? I have no room to talk.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. It doesn't matter. But it was just like I saw this fursuit head being retweeted. And like, I didn't retweet it. I didn't commission a fursuit head. It's not an elk. What's going on here? Oh, no.
I sometimes wonder if the other Fuzzwolf, who's like the opposite of me in every way, like gets questions about erotic stories or publishing or podcasts. There's also a Fuzzy Wolf with a Y, who I know the name. I don't know who they are or anything about them, but it's just I remember seeing, like, I think maybe they were commenting on FA that I happen to be looking at or something. So, yeah, unfortunately, I'm not super unique anymore, but you know, I have Fuzzwolf on Twitter, so that's where you can find me on the Twitter. I'm also on Mastodon, Fuzzwolf at mastodon.social. And you can visit my businesses for planet.com for books in print and baddogbooks.com for ebooks. Over to you, Shiva. Well, you said you're Shiva, so.
Yeah, yay. I mean, usually I use Chimera on pretty much any platform.
Which you're kind of off the social media, which is probably a good place to be.
I just don't have the bandwidth for it anymore. I just don't.
You should look to upgrading your Fios to the 150 over 150.
That doesn't do anything for my mental capacity.
Oh, though. Right.
Yeah. I just don't have the time or the care. I don't have the spoons to deal with that shit. I got enough going on.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. And I get so much more done at work on days where I just use my phone for music and podcasts. And if I can avoid looking at Twitter too much. Anyway, that's where you can find all of us. Next week, Shiva will be joining us because she'll be having fun.
Yeah, I'm going to go see Book of Mormon with Siam and Saro. It's been a fun thing because Dallas Summer Musicals have a restaurant down there. So we usually go down, have dinner, have some wine. It's the only time we really drink wine, but hey, we're exploring.
Yeah.
And then go see the show.
That sounds nice. Mm-hmm. Downtown Dallas has a lot of cool stuff.
Well, this is off Fair Park, so getting in and out of it is a fucking zoo.
Right.
And, yeah.
Yeah. So. I mean, the Green Line goes to Fair Park, I think, if you wanted to take the train.
And coordinating everything, and
There are three of you, though, so it would be cheaper to go down and park.
That and Siam paid for valet parking for the entire season, so.
Oh, shit, it's totally worth it then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool.
It wasn't last time because apparently everybody has valet parking and we end up waiting for like 45 minutes to an hour for the car.
Oh, and then have to deal with the traffic getting out of Fair Park. It's not perfect, but yeah. More time to hang out and chat.
Speaking of things that are not perfect, Steven Universe. We did not cover that.
Oh, yeah. It would have been the series finale, except they got the sixth season and a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good, and I guess we'll have to discuss it next time.
Yeah, usually episodes are between 10 minutes and maybe sometimes 20. This is 45 minutes.
45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And it had, fucking
goes. And it still felt a little rushed in parts.
Mm-hmm.
But it was 45 minutes when most episodes are like 12.
Did you watch the end? Did you watch it?
I watched the whole thing.
The fucking sword that she went.
And just like how the end, like
watch the spoilers.
Watch the spoilers. Yeah. But there's songs at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And there's fusions. And they fix things, and it's good.
A little bit of trans allegory in there?
Oh, just a bit. Her name is Steven now.
She prefers Steven now, or something like that.
Yeah, something like that, when they talk about how Steven is...
Steven.
Is Steven. That involves a whole bunch of the show that you need to watch to understand what the fuck is even going on. Mm. But
it's a really good.
It was really good. But they're getting a movie this fall and a sixth season, so it'll be real interesting to see what happens.
Because
now that one made the entire overarching threat for the last five seasons has been kind of dealt with.
Mm. So it'll turn out like Babylon 5 season 5, where they wrapped everything up in season 4, and then they were kind of like,
oh shit, there's a new big bad that requires everybody to work together.
Yeah,
I could just do with a season of fluff, really, and just enjoying Steven and his universe.
True. Alright, so we're going to wrap this up before we get too deep into the weeds with Steven Universe. But hey, it's pretty good. It's a fun show to watch. And if you watch 1 through 5, you've got a full story arc here.
Yeah, you can. If they stop now, I would be content.
Exactly.
But if I want more fluff, I'm okay with that too.
Yep. So on that note, good night.
And big books.